washed our sins away.
Pam Friday, and I'm the children's minister here at Crestview Baptist Church, and we are so glad you are here today. When you came in, you received a worship guide, and inside that guide is a connection card that looks like this, and I'd like to go over with it with you just for just a few minutes. On the very front is just some general information about yourself, your name, address, email. There's even date of birth on there. So whatever you're comfortable in filling out, let's go ahead and do that. Then at the very bottom it says, how did you hear about Crestview? And we would love to know if someone invited you, if you saw it on our sign, on our webpage, just how you found out about Crestview. So if you would fill that out for us, we would really appreciate it. Then on the back of the card is your commitment card. And on the left-hand side, it says, my next step today is. And this is a part where we want you to take a look at these next steps while Brother John is preaching today. This is something that you can take with you during the week and live it out. Live out what you heard today on Sunday. Then on the right-hand side is your commitment side. If you would be interested in being baptized, making a commitment to Christ for the very first time, wanting to become a member here at Crestview, we would love for you to check one of these boxes. Then at the end of the service, the ushers will come by with a basket. You can drop these cards in, and we will get in touch with you about that decision. At the very bottom is your prayer request or special needs, and we as a staff would love to pray for you if you have any prayer requests or needs. So please fill that out. And then, as I said, at the end, our ushers will come by with baskets. You drop your card in the basket. If you don't quite finish, at each of our exits, we have kiosks, and you can just lay your card on the kiosk before you leave today. Now, you have come on a very special Sunday. Today is Baptism Sunday. And we're so excited. There are several families here that they have loved ones that are going to be baptized today. Now, baptism is an outward symbol of what's happened inside someone. When you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and to be your Lord and Savior, you want to tell others. And that's what baptism is. It's telling others, I am a Christian. So join us in prayer with these friends and families that are fixing to be baptized as we watch them on the screen.
Raised to walk in the Pearl above all want to say it's great to be back with you this Sunday. I've been for the last couple of weeks in Moldova, which is a country about a year ago I didn't even know where it was, but it's a former part of the Soviet Union. And we had a team that went there, and we just had a great experience as God worked in some great ways. We had ladies that led a women's retreat, and it was really just an amazing thing as 24 churches came together and a little under 200 women came together, something they hadn't done for years and years. And so it was a great experience. One thing you need to know about our church is one of the things that we really feel like God's wanting us to do is to partner up with some of the different schools and seminaries internationally. And so we've done that with Uganda Baptist Seminary and also a seminary in Lebanon. And this is a third one that we really think God has given us an opportunity to partner up with. And we'll have teams that will be going in the future. So, you know, you pray about that, and hopefully you can be part of something like that if God wants you to be part of that. Also, I want to thank David Odom and Michael Manasco for filling in for me while I was gone. I had the opportunity to teach at the seminary and then also to preach on Sunday. And so it was a great opportunity just to be there and to share and appreciate all your prayers. Many of you have told me how you were praying, and I appreciate that very much. And God did some really great things. Well, we're in a series of messages called Foundations. And what we're talking about are some things that are foundational to our spiritual life. Some basics that we need to make sure are in place so that we can be all that God would want us to be. And today we're talking about elements. And that's another word for the ordinances. Two very important things that we do to help us spiritually. And they are baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so we're going to talk about baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, these things are so special that we call them ordinances. And that means that it's something pretty ordinary that God makes extraordinary. For example, today, in all three services today, we had folks that got baptized. When we baptize folks, we use regular Midland water. It's not even RO. And you talk about, there's nothing more ordinary than Midland water. Okay, and we use that water to baptize, and God takes something very ordinary, makes it extraordinary as it points us to God. When we take the Lord's Supper, we use juice and this really bad-tasting cracker, and it's unleavened bread and the pretty ordinary stuff, but God makes that extraordinary because both of those ordinances or elements point us to God. And so that makes it very, very special. So we want to talk about this today. And to get us into it, I want to take a little survey. And I'm going to ask you to confess something. It's pretty easy, though. I want you to confess if you've ever had a time where you got so embarrassed that you just wish you could have taken it back, do anything to take back what you said or what you did, you got that embarrassed. Would you just raise your hand if it ever has happened to you? Okay, it's happened to me. I want to tell you a story about that to kind of get us into this today. My wife and I, Athlyn and I, used to live in Little Rock, Arkansas, and that was kind of Bill Clinton country. And when he was elected the first time, they had a huge celebration downtown, and there had been reports of celebrity sightings downtown Little Rock. So my wife goes, "We got to go," and so I'm kind of going, "Oh, okay." So, but she's real fired up about this. So we go downtown Little Rock. There's thousands of people. You can barely walk. There's so many people there. And the word gets out that there are all these celebrities and stuff. Well, we don't see any, but we go into this ice cream shop, and we're getting in line to get ice cream, and all of a sudden, in through the door walks Tom Cruise and his entourage. Now, everybody kind of goes crazy about it. Not me, though. Not so much. I mean, I feel sorry for him. I mean, he's kind of short. And I don't get why everybody's so crazy about him. You know, I just kind of, you know. But Athlyn is one of those that's kind of going crazy about it. And so he's in there and, you know, she goes, "We're going to hang out for a while and just see what happens." So we just hang out for a while. And she's pretty fired up. And then we decide to go on outside. So we go outside and she looks and she doesn't have her ice cream. She goes, "Well, we've got to go back in and find my ice cream." So we go back in. And about that time, Tom Cruise has gotten to the head of the line with his entourage. And so she walks at the counter, and he's at the counter. And he turns to her and says these words, "Lady, It's in your purse. Her ice cream cone was in her purse. Well, that would be pretty embarrassing if it really happened. It didn't really happen. But it would have been really, really embarrassing if it had really happened. About half of it's true, because the first part's all true. She had had rumors that Tom Cruise was down, but we never saw him. But that would be pretty embarrassing. Well, God wants us to know it's not just that we have some embarrassing things that happen in our lives, some things that are just little missteps, but we have this huge gap between us and God, and it is called sin. And so we want to look at a verse that talks about this. This is Romans 3:23, and notice what it says. It says this: "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You see, we need to understand that we need a Savior. And the problem is sin, and we need a Savior that helps us in that problem of sin. And we need to realize how that we need Jesus. And so Jesus actually does these things we're going to talk about, the Lord's Supper and baptism. He identifies with these. He gives us an example of he actually participated in these and wants us to also have this as part of our own spiritual life, baptism and Lord's Supper. And so we're going to look at how he wants that to take place. Now, to be very clear about this, for 2,000 years, we need to realize how important this is. For 2,000 years, in every continent, in every country, in every culture of people who followed Jesus Christ, they have done these two things: baptism, Lord's Supper. And so we want to look at these and realize that today in our world, there are parts of our world today that if you have baptism, like we had today, or you have the Lord's Supper, you can be arrested. You can have all these bad things happen to you because you were telling everyone, doing these things that are so important to our spiritual life. So what I want to do today is basically ask some questions and give some answers to questions from the Bible about baptism and Lord's Supper. And so let's look at the first question. The first question is, what is the meaning of baptism? What is the meaning of baptism? Now, I'm going to give you the answer to every one of these questions, and we're going to look at it from the Bible. And I want to give you the answer. Now, there's not a blank to fill in an answer, but if you want to jot these down, you can. But basically, the answer is this. What is the meaning of baptism? It is a one-time event where someone tells everyone else they have committed their life to Jesus Christ. It is how, basically, we tell people that I've become a Christian. It's through baptism. In the New Testament, during Jesus' day, it was not like you did anything else, like fill out a card or do any of the things that we do in our services. You basically, the only way you told anybody was that you were baptized. That's how you told somebody that you had committed your life to Christ. And so let's look at what Jesus said about this, because he mentions it in what we call the Great Commission, or some commands for us all to do. Notice what it says. So let's take a look at it. It says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Now it says that it's very important that we do several things there. We make disciples, and then we baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to do that. Now, baptism was around in Jesus' day. It was done by John the Baptist. Now, why did they call him John the Baptist? It's because he baptized people. There were no denominations back there. In other words, there was not Leroy the Methodist and Bubba the Presbyterian and John the Baptist. That meant he was a baptizer. And the people of Israel, what they did basically was that they knew that when they had sin in their life, that what they needed to do was to be baptized, to say that I have sinned and I want to repent of my sin. I want to turn from my sin. And so you were baptized. That's where the whole idea of the water and the washing and all that sort of thing took place, is that you had this idea of baptism. And so, what is the meaning of baptism? It is how someone tells everyone else that they have committed their life to Jesus Christ. Now, the second question is this: how do we baptize? How do we baptize? Well, all kinds of churches do it all kinds of ways. You have some churches that sprinkle. You have some churches that pour. We We have some churches that immerse or go under the water. And so why do we do what we do? Well, the answer to the how question is that we immerse, we go under the water. Why is that? Well, there's a couple reasons. The first reason is that the word baptize in the New Testament in the original language means to go under the water. It means to immerse, so we kind of want to do that. But that's not the only reason. We want to do it because that's pretty much what Jesus did. So let's look at some examples of that. First, let's look at John the Baptist. And notice what happens in John chapter 3, verse 23. It says, "Now John was also baptizing at Enon near Salim, because there was plenty of water, and people were coming and being baptized." Now, why did they go to this location? Because there was what? Plenty of water. Now let's go to the next passage. This is where Jesus gets baptized. This is Mark 1, verses 9 and 10. It says this, "At that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove." This is Jesus' baptism. And this is what we would say. We would say, well, we need to baptize in the same mode and method as Jesus. I mean, he gave us an example here. He gave us an identification here. So what happened here? It says he came up out of the water. So we want to kind of do that same mode. So what we do is when someone has committed their life to Jesus Christ, they become a Christian, then we say, okay, your next step is to be baptized. And so we say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we put them under the water, and then we bring them up out of the water. Because if we didn't do the second part, they would go meet Jesus too early. And we don't want to do that, so we bring them under the water, and we take them up out of the water. And so that's our process. So the answer is, how do we do this? We do this by immersing someone, taking them under the water. Third question, does baptism make you a Christian? Does baptism make you a Christian? The answer is no. Let's take a look at what Scripture says about that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and notice what it says. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works or any actions, so that no one can boast." Now here Paul's going to talk about salvation, forgiveness of sin, the plan that God has for us, how our lives change, how we have life change in our own life. So let's go in detail and look at this verse kind of in detail and dig into it. Notice what it says. First of all, it says that we are saved by grace. This grace comes from Jesus, who was perfect, who died on a cross, who was buried, and on the third day was raised again from the dead. And it's all about that we receive grace. We don't deserve it, but we receive grace from God. And then it goes on and it says, it's by that grace you've been saved through faith. It is when we trust Jesus with our lives, it's through that kind of step of faith that we become a Christian. And then notice what it goes on and says. It says, this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. You see, we don't save ourselves. It's not because of the Lord's Supper. It's not because of baptism. It's not because of anything that we do. It's because of Jesus Christ. And then it goes on and says, it is the gift of God, not by works or any kind of action, so that no one can boast. You see, I can't save myself. I can't save my kids. I can't do anything like that at all. And to realize that it is part of that process of understanding that is not about any action that we take. And so it doesn't make you a Christian. Now I want to show you a picture. And this is a picture of one of the most meaningful times in my life. Now I look back on my life, and there's several things that, you know, just very meaningful that God blessed me with that I was part of. And as a dad, this is one of the top things that I remember. And it's when I had the chance to baptize my daughters. And so I want to show you this picture. This is in my office, and this is my youngest on the left-hand side. She graduates this week from University of North Texas, and that's my oldest daughter. I love that look she's kind of giving me right there. I think that's a real special deal there, and she is now working in Dallas for Buckner in downtown Dallas. Well, I think back on that time, and I think about, you know, that was pretty amazing. But we always had a party. We always, something we always did in our family, and something that was a tradition that I grew up with, is when they were baptized, we had a party, because it was a celebration. We had ice cream, we had cake, it was just a great time. But we said at that party, it said, we're having a party because you told everyone that you became a Christian. My daughters, when they were baptized, didn't become a Christian. That's how they told everybody. They had already made that step. And so it's that kind of process. So let's go to the next question. The next question is this. And I get this question a lot. But what if I'm not worthy to be baptized? Not worthy to be baptized. Well, here's the answer. You aren't worthy. You're right. If you ask that question, you're exactly right. You are not worthy. But that's not the point. That is not the point at all. In fact, the point is that you just need to understand how God forgives you. And to understand how He works in your life and in your heart, and how He brings forgiveness. And so let's look at a couple verses that talk about that forgiveness that we have from God. The first one is Psalm 103, verse 12. Psalm 103, verse 12. It says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. So here's the deal. You don't get good enough to get baptized. You don't. We all, myself, you, everybody, we're not good enough to be baptized. Nobody goes, well, hey, they get to be baptized because they're good enough. Nobody's in that category. Nobody. The point is that we have to depend on Jesus Christ and His forgiveness. And when He forgives us, how does He forgive us? As far as the east is from the west. That's pretty far. I mean, He removes that if we ask for forgiveness. And so we just need to take whatever steps we need to take to go ahead and to be baptized. Look at this next verse. It is Titus 3:5. It says, He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit. You see, bottom line is, we're not going to be good enough. You're not going to be worthy. But don't let that stop you. Don't let that stop you from taking the step. It's kind of like a story that I heard that I've always remembered. And it happened, I heard the story several years ago. But there was a guy named Paul Harvey. Some of you may remember Paul Harvey. He used to do this thing on the radio, and it was called The Rest of the Story. And he at one time had something like 30 million listeners every week to his radio show. He passed away, I guess, something like 2006. And he had this radio show that everybody listened to, and he tells a story on himself. And here's the story. He said that he was vacationing out in the country, and he decided on a Sunday during vacation to go to this little country church. Happened to be a little Baptist church. He walks in this little Baptist church, and that Sunday, the pastor is talking about baptism. And the pastor talks about it, and Paul Harvey says, it irritated me. Because you see, Paul Harvey had become a Christian years before, but had never been baptized. And he said, this is kind of irritating me. It's kind of getting under my skin, because after all, why do I need to get baptized? I mean, I'm Paul Harvey. I mean, I got 30 million people that listen to me every week. Why do I need to get baptized? And he kind of had this little discussion with God just as he's there in that church. And so he keeps thinking about it. Several weeks and days go by, and he keeps thinking about it. And he goes, you know, I just don't know. And then one day it just hits him. And this is what he says. He says, then it hit me. That for all these years, many, many years, everybody, rich and poor, famous and not so famous, everybody, no matter what category you're in, everybody gets baptized the same way. It's humbling. He goes, I mean, you know, you think about getting wet and you're dripping in front of everybody and you know, all that. It's very humbling kind of deal. Your hair doesn't look good, all that kind of stuff. He goes, it's very humbling because, but that's the point. Is it so humbling being willing to be baptized? You're just like everybody else because we all got to come to Jesus the same way. And then I want everybody to know that I'm a Christian. And so he got baptized. So I just want to say to you, if you have that question, and some of you do, I'm not worthy, I just want to say, don't let anything stop you. And in fact, I think this is a great point for you to look with me at some of the next steps. If you'll take a look at your connection card on the back side of that card on the left-hand side, there are three next steps. I'm going to talk about the first two. The first next step, it says, my next step today is to commit my life to Jesus Christ for the very first time. If you've never taken that step, you can do that today. Jesus Christ loves you. You have a problem, it's sin, and the answer is Jesus Christ. And you can commit your life to Jesus Christ today. And so I encourage you to make that commitment if you've never done that. And if you do that, if you make that commitment, you know what we're going to do as your church family? We're going to give you an opportunity to be baptized. And we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do just like Jesus got baptized, we're going to give you an opportunity to be baptized. We're going to have our next baptism day on June the 23rd. You got plenty of time if you sign up to be part of that baptism day. Invite your friends, family, have them be here to celebrate with you. It'll be a great day. For some of you, you need to take that second next step. You're already a Christian. And to go ahead and take that next step of what God has for you. Now, I want to say one last word about baptism. Does baptism make you a Christian? No, it does not. But I want to say this, and this is real important. As your pastor, I just need to say this. If you are a Christian and you have never been baptized and you have no intention of ever being baptized, let me just tell you what you're really doing. Because this is so important spiritually for your life. It's because what you're really saying is this. All right, Jesus, I know you commanded me to do it. I know you want me to do this. I know you love me, and the one way that I can tell everybody that I love you is that I can get baptized, but I just want to tell you, I know all that, and I say, uh-uh, I'm not going to do it. And that's pretty powerful when we have, in a bad sort of way, when we would say that to Jesus Christ, because it is the first way after you become a follower of Jesus Christ, after you commit your life to him and you become a Christian, it is the first way you could say, I want to obey him. I'm going to let him be charged. So let me just tell you, don't let anything keep you from this very important step of baptism. Now that leads us to the second ordinance, the second element, and that's the Lord's Supper. And the question that we have here is this. What is the meaning of the Lord's Supper? And so let's look together at a passage out of Luke chapter 22. And you have on your outline verse 19. Well, I'm going to read 19 and 20. Okay, so let me read those two verses. This is the Last Supper. Jesus is with the disciples, and this is what happens. And he, Jesus, took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, the disciples, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 20. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Jesus gathers with his disciples. They're in this room. He says, here's what I want you to realize. You're going to take this bread. We're going to take this bread together. I want you to take this bread in the Lord's Supper. It is my body. My body that's going to have a spear piercing my side. My body that's going to have a crown of thorns that's going to tear my head. My body is going to be nailed to a cross. My body is going to be broken for you. And then he's with his disciples. He says, all right, here's the cup. Cup, you know what that represents? That represents my blood. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to die for everybody. And I want you to know that, and I want you to remember that. That's pretty powerful. So what is the meaning? What's the answer to the question? Well, you have some blanks there. And the answer is this, to remember and to celebrate God's gift that he gave us through Jesus Christ. To remember and to celebrate that gift. God's real big on remembering. All throughout the Old Testament, he would tell his people, anytime he did anything for them, you need to get baptized. You need to make sure that you understand. I just said get baptized, didn't I? That was jet lag right there speaking. He said very clearly in what he wanted them to do is to remember what he had done for them. And whatever God did for them was something that they were to remember. And so what he do is he told them, I want you to remember by maybe making a memorial, making something. They would pile rocks together. So every time they saw those stones that were piled up together, they remember what God did for them. He would say, I need you to remember. I need you to remember. And so understand that this is really big to God, that we would remember. And one of the things that happens when we take the Lord's Supper is it helps us remember the cross. It helps us remember Jesus' body and blood, his body that was broken, his blood that was shed for each one of us. And so to understand, there's a remembering aspect, but there's a celebrating aspect too. That we were loved so much that Jesus came for us. And we've received this gift. And the gift is the sacrifice of his life for us. And so it's very powerful in that way. So the answer is very much to understand, to remember, and to celebrate. Now, one little side note I want to give you. So why is it we use grape juice? Some churches use wine. Why do we not use wine? Why do we use grape juice? Well, let me talk about that for a minute. There's several reasons, but I want to give you one important reason. This is one out of several, okay? And one reason is this. Because we have folks that have come out of a life of alcoholism. They've battled their whole life with alcohol. And we don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody by saying, okay, you know, you've been this many days without taking a drink. And by the way, we're taking the Lord's Supper, so go ahead and take a drink. We don't want that to be a stumbling block for anybody. So we have grape juice. That's one of the main reasons we do that. So that's the meaning. The second question is this. To understand why do we have the Lord's Supper, to understand that in a very clear way is to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, these are verses that I read every time that we have the Lord's Supper to understand this why part. And so we go back to the Last Supper. And so let's look at, and if you've got your Bibles, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. And so let's look at what I read every time we take the Lord's Supper and notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Now, basically what it says in 1 Corinthians is, it's that remembering part. Remember. Remember all that has been done for you through Jesus Christ. Remember. Now, there's another important part. In fact, it's a kind of a scary warning. And so let's go on. Same chapter, next verses. It says this, starting in verse 27. "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." Now, this is a word of caution. In other words, you take this pretty serious. The Lord's Supper is not something you just kind of do casually. Oh, yeah, taking the Lord's Supper, no big deal. It is a big deal. Now, here's the thing. Two of the books that were taught in the class in Moldova were 1 and 2 Corinthians. The church in Corinth had a bunch of problems. They had a bunch of messiness going on. They had problems where people, their own church members were suing each other. They were fighting with each other. They were saying, you know, you need to be on my side. And there's different sides and different groups that they could follow. They had all this disunity going on. They even had a situation where a guy was having an affair with his stepmother and was kind of proud about it. And everybody's going, yeah, that's fine. No big deal. A lot of issues going on in this church. And so he wanted them to realize that there was a worthy way to take the Lord's Supper and an unworthy way. A right way and a wrong way to take the Lord's Supper. And that this is real important. And he says, basically, we have instructions. You need to examine yourself. Now, let me tell you about what sin we're talking about here. We're not talking about how that maybe when you drove to church this morning, you didn't use your turn signal enough. That's not what we're talking about. is talking about a situation where someone is openly defiant against God. I know I'm doing something, God, you don't want me to do, and I don't care. I don't care what you think about that. And it's just this kind of just hard-hearted defiance against God, maybe a self-righteousness that says, I know what's right, and God, I don't care what you say. And he says, basically, you need to judge yourself. That every time you take the Lord's Supper, you should be judging yourself and make sure your heart is right. So if you have any of that going on, what are you supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to ask for forgiveness so you can go forward in God's plan for your life. Now, here's the thing. These are two foundational spiritual actions, events that we can participate in. Baptism, when you become a Christian, you tell everybody you know that around you that you have made that commitment. Lord's Supper is for us to remember and to celebrate God's gift to us through Jesus. Very important for us spiritually to get that and to be part of that in the right sort of way. Now today, you have the opportunity to make the commitment that God has for your own life, the commitment that he has for you. It might be the third next step, and let's take a look at that on your connection card. The third next step says this: my next step today is to remember all my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for me and be thankful. I want to ask you, what next step does Jesus Christ have for you today? And I want to ask you to take it. Take that next step. It might be any of these three. It may be something else. It may be time for you to be all in here at the church and become a member of Crestview. But would you take the next spiritual step that God has for you today? What's going to happen is I'm going to lead us in prayer. And after that prayer, we're going to stand and sing this song of commitment. And during that time of the song, you're going to have the opportunity to go out those doors, and there's some folks with name tags on, and they're going to be available to pray with you, to visit with you about any spiritual commitment you want to make today. Let us know about that on your card. You can go visit with someone about that today, and you have that opportunity as we have a time of commitment as we finish this service right now. So would you pray with me? Let's pray together right now. God, I pray for those that need to make that commitment of committing their life to Jesus Christ for the very first time. And I pray that that would happen and they would make that decision. God, I also pray for those that it's time for them to make the commitment of being baptized. That they wouldn't let anything hold them back, but they would take that step. God, help us to realize it's all about trusting Jesus and following him and letting him forgive us and let his grace be something that changes us. And I pray that we would remember all you've done for us and that we would be thankful in the way that you would want us to. Help us to do that. Help us to remember and to be thankful. God, we pray you'd move among us even right now and that we would take that step toward you you want us to take. And that's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and let's stand. And as we sing this song of commitment, you have the opportunity to go out those doors and visit with someone this morning. Let's sing together right now. Fear the war.
and I want to give you just a few moments to take care of a couple of things. Number one, if you haven't finished your next step or commitment side of the connection card, I want to give you just a few minutes to do that. And then our ushers will come by here in just a little bit with some baskets, and you can drop your card in the basket. If you don't quite finish it, at each of our exits there are kiosks where you can lay your card as you leave. I also want to give you just a moment to gather your tithes and offerings. And for those of you who have given online or through automated giving, we want to thank you so very much for your generosity. So I'll give you just a few moments to do that. I want to ask our ushers to come forward. I'll lead us in a word of prayer, and you can get that stuff together while we pray. Father God, I just thank you that you give us these elements to remember and observe how much you love us, what you do for us, the ultimate gift, the ultimate sacrifice that you gave us. Father, today I just pray a blessing on this offering. God, let it be go to tell others about you, that more people will know of your grace and your mercy. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to give back. And God, I just pray a blessing. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Welcome to Crestview Television. We are so glad that you are here today. Crestview is all about helping people experience life change through Jesus Christ. We have a variety of ministries and small groups to help you experience this life change. If you have any questions about Crestview, then you should stop by our questions kiosk located in the main commons right out the back doors of the worship center. You can find out information about our ministries from infants all the way up to senior adults.
Are you or someone you know about to tie the knot? Well, Crestview is hosting the Together in Texas premarital counseling class. This is a four-week class that will run May 8th through May 29th on Wednesday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. in Suites 1 and 4. It's not too late to sign up. And the best part is that by attending this class, you will save $60 on the state marriage license fee. Come and learn about communication, conflict resolution, finances, and intimacy that will benefit any couple about to get married. The class starts this Wednesday, so register today. You can sign up by emailing Karen Casto at cbctx.org.
Are you thinking about joining Crestview? Well, our Discovering Crestview class is tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. in the youth worship area. This class is designed to help you learn more about our core values and what it means to be a member at Crestview. You can sign up on our website at crestviewmidland.org or just show up tonight.
Calling all men of Crestview. Come join the Crestview Men's Ministry, the Brotherhood, on Saturday, June 8th, as we present the Brotherhood's summer schedule and upcoming events. Have a steak and enjoy a Rockhounds game for $5. Dinner and fellowship from 5 to 7 p.m., and the game starts at 7. So sign up today in the Commons or online.
This week, we have several joining the Crestview Church family. Justin and Rachel Bunch, and Lyric, Matthew, and Daniel Salazar with Ethan Bunch. Thomas and Britta Robinson with Katie, Allison, Rebecca, and Thomas IV. And coming by baptism, Tegan Blair, Taylor Blair, Mackenzie Stewart, Ryan Caputo, Jay Ralston, Carson Carlisle, John Buckaloo, Elijah Jones, and Lyric Salazar. Be sure to welcome them when you see them.
So here's a review of what's happening at Crestview. Don't forget to visit the Questions Kiosk before you leave today. You can find information about our life change groups and more. Discovering Crestview is tonight at 6 p.m. in the youth worship area. And beginning tonight, our evening worship service in Suites 1 and 4 has a new start time, 6 o'clock. Pastor John will continue the foundation series next Sunday with a message called Generosity. Don't miss it. That's all we have for this week. See you next Sunday.
So if you still need to speak to someone about a spiritual decision, committing your life to Christ, being baptized, joining the church, or you would just like to pray with someone, you can go right out these back doors, and there are people at our questions kiosk or next step tables who would love to visit with you. It's been such a great day to be here at Crestview. I'm so glad you're here. Enjoy your day. You are dismissed.
God is